when the weather is hot.
What are you doing this summer? What are you seeing?
What are you reading? What are you playing? What are you eating?
What are you doing? There's lots going on in the area this summer. It's time to celebrate summer, Lynchburg style.
And you know what a lot of people are doing this summer? They are reading. Summer's a great time to catch up on your reading when things are just a little slower pace. And who knows more about reading than the folks at Givens Books? Sarah Givens Morano joins us now with some great summer reads. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you.
Thank you.
And you have brought in stacks and stacks of books,
yes,
which is terrific to see. Let's start with some recommendations for adults, people headed to the beach or people just wanting to get in some good summer reading. What do you recommend?
Well, I thought I'd start with a couple of nonfiction. That's a huge trend this summer for sure. A couple of memoirs. Probably our bestseller this summer has been Educated by Tara Westover, which is the memoir of growing up kind of off the grid out in Idaho. She was raised by kind of gypsy parents. They didn't travel around, but they definitely had some unusual ideas about child rearing. And this is kind of her story of being raised off the grid with a very, very neglectful set of parents. I think they were undiagnosed bipolar, it turns out, but of course they were never officially diagnosed. But she wasn't necessarily abused, but she was definitely neglected. And this is the story of how she kind of rose above that, ended up pretty much educating herself. She ends up with a PhD from Cambridge, I believe, or Oxford. Wow. I can't remember. I read it a few months ago. But this is one of those books that once you start, you can't do anything else. You have to finish this. And this has been a huge seller this summer. A couple of book groups are doing it. Since it's only in hardback, that's kind of unusual. But this was probably one of the best reads that I've come across in the last few years.
The way you describe it, it sounds kind of like The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls.
It is. I read The Glass Castle quite a few years ago when it first came out. This one, for some reason, I think hits a little harder. The story, because she educated herself, she had no support system, really. She would go get outdated textbooks from old, you know, from schools they weren't using anymore. She had an older brother who kind of did the same thing. He got out early, educated himself. They studied for the ACTs on their own. They had absolutely no support at home, no education. The parents supposedly homeschooled, but really did no homeschooling, didn't really even have books in the house. And so she kind of went and gathered her own textbooks, taught herself, took the ACTs at a young age, got into BYU, graduated from BYU. I mean, there's one story that was really interesting when she was, I believe, a freshman, and they were talking about the Holocaust in one of her classes, and she had no idea what that was. And she asked a question, and her classmates and the teacher took it as her being very sarcastic and rude, and she went home devastated because she didn't know what they were talking about. And so that's just one example of something major in history that she had no clue.
Wow, those are always good books, though, of how people are able to rise above their circumstances.
Yes.
And what is it? You know, because so many people would never be able to do that, but some people just have it in them.
Yes, it was. And she does do a lot of, you know, she talks now about, really, she doesn't really even seem that bitter. And I think she's got such a healthy way of viewing, hey, this happened, but I'm where I am because of what happened. It's very, very, very intriguing.
And the book is called Educated.
Educated by Tara Westover.
Okay.
So you said that the trend for summer reading is more nonfiction.
We seem to be doing a nonfiction. Thrillers are another big genre.
See, that's what I think of as summer reading is you know, Peter Benchley books.
Right.
Jaws the Island.
Yeah.
Or The Legacy, things you'd get to go to the beach. But so is it, it's more balanced out.
Well,
now
I think Lynchburg
I
is just a very unique town, especially as far as our readers. Where I think we have a hugely intellectual community, and you know, hungry to learn, and
we're very edumacated.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you all want, everybody wants escape reading. I mean, I want escape reading, but I loved nonfiction growing up. I don't think I read fiction in school, of course, but I really didn't start reading fiction until probably I was in my mid-20s for enjoyment. My father was an American history teacher, and I just loved anything. I would read a memoir just about anybody. So
yeah, see, I'm the other way around. I read much more fiction when I was younger and more nonfiction as I got older.
As you got older. Yeah.
All right, speaking of more nonfiction that's very popular.
Killers of the Flower Moon by David Grann is another one. This is a New York Times bestseller, but it's also definitely one of our bestsellers. It takes place in the 1920s. It opens up with an Osage Indian woman and her sister goes missing. And that kind of opens up this whole story about what happened in Oklahoma in the 1920s, which I didn't know anything about. I you know, admittedly, I don't know anything about the Osage Indian Nation. I hadn't even really heard of it. But apparently they were settled in Kansas. It was part of the Louisiana Purchase. They were already settled on that land. And Thomas Jefferson at the time had agreed to, you know, take care of these people as part of the Louisiana Purchase. Well, eventually he realized that land was very inhabitable. And so the settlers wanted that land, and we kept pushing them and pushing them. And they decided to move to Oklahoma, which the chief at the time thought was very uninhabitable, and the white man wouldn't try to come take their land if they settled there. So, of course, what happened was eventually oil was found on that land, and people, members of the Osage Nation, started disappearing. They thought being poisoned. They were found shot. So this is kind of the whole mystery as far as the conspiracy, what was going on. Who was behind the conspiracy? The FBI comes into play, kind of the beginning of the FBI. So this is another really interesting one. Kind of has a little bit of everything: mystery, American history, Native American history. Very, very interesting.
I've read that one, and it it does read like a murder mystery.
It does.
And then what I found impressive too is the author David Grand did such good work as far as investigating it, but then also doing his own. Because this happened years ago, but he's doing his own research to find out what happened. He's
right.
Kind of solving the case
yes.
right there. It's an incredible
yes,
book,
and so. He goes all the way back to the 1800s. I mean, his his knowledge is just hugely extensive. You learn a lot in a matter of 100 pages. How much you learn is amazing.
J. Edgar Hoover trying to make a name for himself as the new head of the FBI. So he wanted to win, and he had some really good agents and then some really dirty agents as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
there was lots of corruption and Wild West, all sorts. It has a little bit of everything. Yep.
And then finally, you have?
Another one. Well, I have a couple more nonfiction. Okay. Stranger in the Woods was one I read that really stuck with me. This came out a couple years ago. I don't know if anybody remembers the story of the hermit in Maine. He was in the woods for 27 years. He one day just... I think he was in his early 20s, and he had a job in a cubicle, walked out one day, and nobody ever saw him again. They found his car way up in the woods, and nobody saw him for 20-some years, 27 years. Well, he kind of became a legend in this area in Maine. They would have these odd break-ins in their homes where food would be missing, but yet he was very thoughtful. He didn't leave a mess. He didn't break glass. He was just basically trying to survive.
He didn't take valuables.
He did not take valuables. He took things like jeans and belts and canned food. And even some people would actually leave bags out and say, please take this. Don't break into my house. Did you read the book or you know the story?
I remember the story when they found him. It was just astounding.
Unbelievable.
This has been, 10 years ago, maybe something like that? And that he'd been out there for, say, 27 years. And, I mean, it was just, as you say, just walked away for whatever reason.
Right.
And, you know, it's 2.5 decades later before they figure it out.
I loved the psychology behind it. What, you know, they talk a lot about spectrum disorders and how everybody was trying to label him. And they finally talked to a psychologist who said, stop trying to label him. He's not, you know, he didn't have a social disease. He just didn't like being social. And if you remove yourself from society... You don't have a social disease. You just want to be alone. And by the end of the book, you just really, your heart goes out to him. And you feel sorry for him that they even caught him. You just think, no. But there was there was so much in this book as far as just, you know, the psychology and the way they were trying to label him and diagnose him. And by the end of it, you're just like, just leave him alone. Let him live in the woods.
That's called The Stranger in the Woods. And then finally.
What Made Maddie Run? This one... I have a daughter. I have three children, but I have one daughter. And when I read this book, it was probably one of the best parenting books I've ever read. It wasn't written as far as a parenting book. It was written more about a story about a girl who, she was a phenomenal runner and a phenomenal soccer player. She gets a scholarship to go for track, and she also gets a scholarship for soccer. She takes the track scholarship because it's at an Ivy League school. And really what her love is soccer. But it was written by Kate Fagan, who's an ESPN column.
Yeah, she's on ESPN.
Yes. Really, she did such a beautiful job writing this book. It's really a cautionary tale, I think, for parents of athletes, parents of children getting ready to go off to college, just about the pressure that we put on them. It is a sad story, but I think it's got some very valuable information as far as what we say to our kids, the words we use, the pressure we put on, not meaning to, you know, saying, stick with this sport, you're going to get a scholarship, you're so good at it. And everybody thought she was great at what she did when nobody really knew what she was internalizing, what she was struggling with. It also has a lot to do with social media and the damage that does, how kids are are not understanding social cues, that because you're texting everything and you're using emojis, you really can't hear the tone in people's voices. Mm-hmm. And if you have a friend struggling with depression, you call them, you talk to them, you see them face to face. Because if you're texting them and they tell you everything's fine, they use emojis, you can't read their face, you can't hear in their voice what they're struggling with. And the one person that did see her the day before the day she committed suicide was a coach that had known her previously, and he was the only person that really knew something was wrong with her because he had seen her face to face, whereas all her friends were calling her or texting her. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it would really, it did scare me about social media, and you know, being very careful about what I let my daughter, how much screen time she has, because you want them to learn how to interact with people. But this was such a good book as far as parenting, the story, athletes, scholarships, college. It really changed a lot of my opinions about how I speak with my child.
The books that we're talking about with Sarah Givens Marano, the nonfiction ones, What Made Maddie Run, Educated, The Stranger in the Woods, and Killers of the Flower Moon are the four. Continuing Summer Lynchburg style, talking to Sarah Givens Marano about great summer reads. We've been through the nonfiction. Let's get to some kids' books. I know you guys, Givens has the summer reading program going on.
Yes, our first year.
Yeah, first year of that. It's been tremendously successful where kids come in and get their bookmarks and read books during the summer and then have, what is it, you're giving away prizes and stuff at
the
end.
Yeah, vendors from around the city, local businesses have been incredibly generous donating.
Great program, but what are some recommendations for children?
Okay, the first one I'm going to do is The Hate U Give. I read this quite a few months back. It's being made into a movie, so I wanted to talk about this one because it's one I really would encourage people to read before they see the movie. This was written by Angie Thomas. It's her first novel. She was actually a teen rapper, which I found really interesting. I think when you're trying to get kids to read, it's really important that they find a connection with the author, not just the story. And I love reading about the authors behind some of these books and why they wrote them. Angie Thomas, her writing is like poetry. It's like music. This is a story about a young girl named Star, and she witnesses a shooting, a police shooting. She's in the car with her cousin. I think it's her cousin. I read it a while ago. And he's shot. The police thought he was pulling out a gun. Actually, he was pulling out a hairbrush. So that's how it begins. And there's a lot of pressure on her to kind of come out and speak the truth. She's getting pressure from both sides, her neighborhood, you know, the white community, the police community, her own neighborhood. Just, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. I cried the last, you know, 20 pages. I cried. Just her writing itself was so beautiful. But I think it's really important kids connect with some of these authors so they understand why they wrote the book. So many of them are writing because of things that have happened in their neighborhoods, people they knew growing up. And knowing the stories behind them, I think, can be important in getting kids to like to read.
Would you say this is for teenagers?
Oh, it's crossed over into the adult, okay. Definitely. But yeah, teenagers, I would, any 12 and up, I would say. But definitely read it before you see the movie. The book was wonderful. And that's called The Hate U Give, Angie Thomas.
What's next?
Jason Reynolds. He's one of my new favorite authors. Jason Reynolds is... he has a website called, I think it's called jasonwritesbooks.com, and I would definitely encourage anybody to go on this website, read about him. He'll admit he never read a book from beginning to end until he was 17 years old. And the reason he never did was because he couldn't connect. He couldn't connect with the authors of the stories. You know, he said he talks about Moby Dick when he had to read Moby Dick in high school and how he laughed, you know, the teacher thing. And he's an African-American kid. And you're telling me to read about a white guy chasing a whale. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Whale.
A white whale, yes. So he said, I couldn't get into any of these books. Catcher in the Rye, you know, Ernest Hemingway. And so he said, I always thought I hated to read when actually I just couldn't connect with any of these stories. So he said the one that changed his life was Black Boy by Richard Wright. When he read that, he realized, oh my gosh, there are books out there I can connect with. And this is my calling in life, is to write books that will get kids to read. And so he says all these books are written from the heart. They're written about people I know, people in my neighborhood, things that are happening now. All my books are real, and if I ever write a boring book, tell me, because my vow to you is to never write a boring book. So Jason Reynolds, he writes for all different age groups. This one I read was called Ghost. It's about, I think it's an eighth grade kid who comes from a rough neighborhood. His dad, in the very beginning, you find out his dad is in jail because he tried to shoot his mother and the main character, Ghost. And so he's struggling with a lot of anger, and he's a very talented runner. So he's trying to balance being an athlete with not getting in trouble, because of course he can't stay on the team, and Anyway, I highly recommend Jason Reynolds. He's written for all different age levels. This is probably his youngest, I'd say about a sixth grade reading level. But he's written some others, one called, I think it's called All American Boy, which is about police brutality as well. But they're very exciting. They have incredibly likable characters.
And then finally, Sarah, one for much younger children.
This is a series called Who Was What Was. I love these. I've read a ton of them, and I get a lot out of these books. These are probably second, third grade reading level. There's got to be over 150 in the series. They go through famous people in history. They go through, you know, people now, current. Everyone from Thomas Jefferson all the way up to, you know, Jeff Kinney, who wrote Diary of a Wimpy Kid. They're very short biographies. They give you just the juice, the really good stuff. But I, as an adult, I love reading these books. You get a lot out of them. And kids love nonfiction. They really do. And I think especially if they can find a person to interest them, an athlete or, you know, the author of a book they love, and get a little bit out of it. But these are great.
All right. Choose one of your adult fiction. I know it's going to be difficult.
Thrillers are great this year. One of the best thrillers I've read was Sometimes I Lie by Alice Feeney. It's her first novel. A lot of lie seems to be in a lot of bestsellers this year, but these are great. This thriller, like I'd never really read thrillers till this year. I loved the author. I read about her, found her interesting. The book was fantastic, but definitely thrillers are in. There's a good twist in this book. You think you know what's going on, and of course at the very end everything flips around, and I love a book like that you can't predict. So.
Love the twists and turns. I love the books that have the great twists and turns. And so, all right, these are all great recommendations, and you have some others as well. We'll put them on our Facebook page.
Sounds great.
As we get our summer reading recommendations from Sarah Gibbons Morano from Gibbons Books. And then real quickly, you guys have a couple of book signings coming up on Saturday. Dr. Laura Macaluso, A Guide to Thomas Jefferson's Virginia. She'll be there signing books and having a discussion from 12 to 2. And then John Fee, his book is Believe Me, The Evangelical Road to Donald Trump, a book signing and discussion from 2 to 4 at Givens. And then your summer reading program continues. So all kinds of things going on right there at Givens Books on Lakeside Drive. Sarah Gibbons Morano, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
And we want to thank our sponsors of the Summer Lynchburg Style series, of course, Givens Books and the Retail Merchants Association. Pick up your passport and Find Waldo all during the month of July. And then they'll have the big Find Waldo party on August 4th.